If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. If you're in Christ, you are no longer the person you were. You really are a new creation. And John is going to tell us how we can know that we are in Christ.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad you're with us today. And Colin, I think a lot of us would say, I believe that I've been made a new creation in Christ because the Bible tells me that. But if that's true, then why am I still struggling with the same old sins?
Well, the very fact that you're struggling would be the clearest evidence that you are, in fact, a new creation. I mean, think of it this way. Any dead fish can float down in the direction that the river is going, but it takes a lively fish to swim against the power of the stream. And when you become a new creation in Christ, that's precisely what you're doing. Sin wasn't a big issue to you before. You could live with it. Your conscience wasn't particularly bothering you. Now you're a new creation. You're in a different position. Your conscience does bother you because you want to live for the glory of God. You want to be more like Christ. That's precisely why you have a struggle. So the struggle itself seems to me to be one of the clearest evidences of the fact that there really is new spiritual life in you. And so in that sense, there's a profound encouragement there.
Well, we're going to continue to look at that encouragement from 1 John chapter 2. If you can, grab your Bible, meet us there as we continue our message. Assurance grows as you obey God's commands. Here's Pastor Colin.
If assurance depends on our keeping God's commands, what hope can we ever have of assurance? Because which of us honestly can say this morning that we walk as Jesus walked? And which of us can truly say that we keep all of God's commands? Now, that's a really, really important question. And I want to attempt to answer it directly. And this is very important. The answer comes in two parts. Part one, no Christian keeps God's commands completely. Now, John has already made this very clear. He's told us in chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Can hardly be clearer than that. And then just to underline it, he says it again in chapter 1 and verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make out God to be a liar and his word is not in us. And you see, the reason that we need always, even on our best days, to lean our whole weight on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us on the cross is because even on our best days, we all fall far short of the life that God has called us to live. So no Christian keeps God's commands completely. That's the first part of the answer. Second part of the answer that you must hold together with it. All Christians begin to live according to God's commands. Now, this is very clear in so many scriptures. Let me just give you one. Romans chapter 8 in verses 3 and 4. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now we know, and I hope all of us grasp very clearly, that Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law for us. He lived the perfect life that none of us have lived, and then he laid it down as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. But notice that is not what the apostle is saying here. What he's saying here is that the outcome of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross is that the righteous requirement of the law will be met in us. That is, in those who walk not according to the flesh, but in according to the Spirit. In other words, that out of the cross will come a community of people who truly are pursuing a life that is according to the commandments and the will of God. And you have this all over the New Testament. I mean, 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 24, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. Why? So that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. That's what comes out of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. So we must hold these things together. No Christian keeps God's commands completely, but all Christians begin to live according to God's commands. And there is a wonderfully helpful statement, or at least I have found it wonderfully helpful, in a document called the Heidelberg Catechism. This is from several centuries ago, so it has stood the test of time. And a catechism is simply a tool for teaching the Christian faith in the form of questions and answers. And the Heidelberg Catechism goes through all of the Ten Commandments, asking what each of them mean and what our responsibilities are in the light of each of them. And then it asks this question, but can those converted to God obey these commands perfectly? That's the question. And here's the answer. No. No. Ah, but that's not the end of the answer. Can we obey them perfectly? No. In this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of obedience. So let no one think that he or she obeys the commandments of God perfectly. Only Jesus has ever done that. In this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of this obedience. Nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some of God's commandments. It's a beautiful statement. And you see what they're saying? When you are in Christ, there is the beginning of the fulfillment of all the commandments going on in you. There's the beginning of you truly loving God. Do you love him perfectly? No. You want to love him more than you do. But there is truly a beginning of love for God. And there's the beginning of purity. Are you completely pure? No, you're far from that. You know that. But there is the beginning of it there, and there is a desire for it to be more. There's the beginning of contentment. You go through all the commandments. The beginning of the fulfillment of all of the law of God is in you by the presence of the Holy Spirit and by the very wonderful fact that you have been made a new creation in Christ. You are no longer the person that you were. And you see, because we have a beginning, not a completion, but a real beginning, that is why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians in chapter 3, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And John is saying that's the path on which assurance will be found. This is how assurance grows. We know that we have come to know God if we keep his commandments. And by this, we know that we are in Christ. We walk in the same way in which he walked. Walk this path and you will grow in peace. And you will grow in joy. And you will grow in love. And you will grow in assurance. So we've looked at a glorious promise, and we've seen a very clear path. There's more that John has to say, and we'll look at the other things in the coming weeks, but this is the first of them, and it relates to the commandments. Now, someone might say at this point, well, this all sounds very miserable, because... Well, you'll hear this. You're describing a life of duty. Obey the commandments. Do what you're told. Where's the joy and the freedom in that? Well, if you think that the Christian life is only a matter of duty, you haven't understood the Christian life at all.
What a place to pause. But don't worry, we'll get back to this message in just a moment. The message is called Assurance Grows as You Obey God's Commands, part of a larger series all about the topic of assurance called How Can I Be Sure? And you can order a copy of this series on CD. Ask about How Can I Be Sure when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. And if it's been a minute since you've been to the website, hope you'll take a little time and check it out. Not only can you listen to this daily radio program, you can check out our weekend broadcast, our daily devotional, and much more. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
If you think that the Christian life is only a matter of duty, you haven't understood the Christian life at all. Not at all. And that leads me to the last thing that's in these wonderful verses here, which is a beautiful freedom. Beautiful freedom. Look at verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Now, let's take it a step at a time. Look at what he says. Whoever keeps his word. So to keep God's word, obviously, is to keep God's commandments. It's to walk as Jesus walked. These are really three ways of saying precisely the same thing. And he says here, whoever keeps his word, that is, whoever keeps God's commands, that is, whoever walks as Jesus walked, in him truly, the love of God is perfected. So do you see how important this is? He's been talking the language of law, and now he's talking the language of love, and the two are inextricably joined together. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly, the love of God is perfected. Now, that word perfected is very important. What it means is this. The love of God has a mission. The love of God has a purpose. The love of God has a goal. And the purpose, mission, and goal of the love of God is to reproduce itself in us, that we may love as he first loved us. And what John is telling us here is that the evidence or proof that God's love has fulfilled its purpose in our lives, that it has been perfected in us, in other words, that it has done what it was intended to do, is that we keep God's word, that we obey his commandments, that we walk as Jesus walked. So do you see, he's making it quite clear that the obedience he's describing here is much more than a sense of duty. It's way beyond that. It comes from love, which, of course, is what the Lord Jesus said time and time again. John had heard this from Jesus. He heard the Lord Jesus say, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." And notice how Jesus then ties that to assurance that he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There's going to be a profound awareness of your own knowledge of God and being in Christ that comes to you as you walk this path. John chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Our obedience to God's commands is the direct fruit of God's love in our lives. We love him because he first loved us. And because we love him, we make it our aim, as the apostle said, to please him, to keep his word, because we love him, because his love has fulfilled its purpose in our lives. You know, even in the Old Testament, King David did not say, well, I guess if I'm to know God, I need to keep the commandments. King David, even in the Old Testament, said, oh, how I love your law. Lord, your love has so captured my heart that I have come to love what you love. Now, there is a beautiful freedom in this Christian life that is lived out of God's love being made perfect, complete, accomplishing its purpose in us. A beautiful freedom. And, you know, people are talking all the time about freedom. And it's worth asking the question, what is freedom? Exactly what is it? And you know well that some people have the idea that freedom is being able to do whatever you want to do. But here's the problem with that, and you might find it useful to raise this in conversations with people who think that freedom is being able to do whatever you want to do. In a fallen world, some of the things we want to do would be very damaging to ourselves, very hurtful to others, and deeply offensive to God. So let me offer to you a better definition of freedom. Freedom is when what you really want aligns with God's commands. And you see, that is why we read in Psalm 1 about a man who is blessed. Who's blessed? The one who delights in the law of God. Because if you are brought to a place where what you really in your heart of hearts want aligns perfectly with what God has commanded you to do, well, then you're blessed. Then you're free. You're not under compulsion at all. Because the best thing you can do is to pursue the deepest desire of your own heart. And do you see how wonderful this is, that the Lord Jesus Christ brings us into this most beautiful freedom by aligning our hearts, our desires, with God's word? And when your desire aligns with what God commands, then you will be wonderfully free. And not only will you be wonderfully free, you will have a growing sense of assurance. You will know that you know God. And you will know that you are in Christ. So here's the message today. This is how we know that we know God. This is how we know that we are in Christ. We keep his commands, and we walk as Jesus walked. And the reason we do this is because God's love has conquered our hearts. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. It has reached its goal. It has accomplished its purpose. So how then should we respond to this message from God's word today? Very simply, we should first take in the love of God for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're never going to make progress in the Christian life apart from taking in the love of God. That's one of the first things that we should be doing in worship, that we would take in the love of God. That's going to be the driver of all progress in the Christian life. And John's letter is absolutely full of it. See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Underline the we. Of all people, that we should be called the children of God. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love, John says in this letter, because he first loved us. Take in the love of God for you in Christ. And in the light of that, renew your commitment to Scripture. See, it's very easy for us as Christians to drift and to just get the idea that somehow we know intuitively what is pleasing to God and then to end up presuming that we are doing what is pleasing to God and very rarely scanning the Bible like the captain scanning the sky or the sea. Renew your commitment to Scripture. The life you're called to is not a life of pursuing what you think or feel God wants. The life you are called to and the life in which assurance will grow for you is a life in which you pursue what God says he wants. And you're only going to find that in Scripture. You won't know it intuitively. And then lastly, renew your commitment to obedience. Renew your commitment to obedience. That's the very clear message that John lays before us. There are other things to be said, but this he says to us here in these verses today. As you renew your commitment to obedience, you will come increasingly to know that you know God. You will grow in assurance that you really are in Christ. And as you do this, God's wonderful love will indeed fulfill its purpose in you.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message of encouragement and hope today. It's called Assurance Grows as You Obey God's Commands, part of a larger series called How Can I Be Sure? And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen with the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. Or again, listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching, whether it's on the radio, the app, or online, as well as all the other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, as our way of saying thanks, we want to send you a book written by Donald McLeod called Faith Undaunted. And Colin, what is this book about?
Well, it's in the title, Faith Undaunted. And the word undaunted, of course, is recognizing that we live at a time when there are many people who want to dismiss Christian faith absolutely. How could you possibly believe this? It's outdated and so forth. And I think sometimes Christians feel intimidated by the dismissive way in which people speak about Christian faith as if it was absolutely impossible. Donald McLeod, who is a professor, a very, very brilliant man, makes the point very clearly that actually everyone has some sort of faith, whether it be an atheist, whether it be someone who is looking at science and is dismissing Christian faith. Everyone is drawing conclusions from certain data, and Christians are the same. Christians are drawing conclusions from evidence that is made available to us. And he makes this point very, very compellingly. And so I find that this is a book that I think will encourage Christians, in other words, give some courage so that we are undaunted. There is reason for believing what you believe as a Christian. Don't let anybody intimidate you about your faith. Faith Undaunted will help you to have the courage of your convictions, and I think it was a really helpful and encouraging book.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-673-6365. That might be easier to remember as 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.